The epistle appointed to the third Sunday in Advent is from the letter to the Philippians in the fourth chapter. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Holy Gospel. At that time, the Jews sent to John the Baptist from Jerusalem, priests and Levites, to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he acknowledged and did not deny, and he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Therefore they said to him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What hast thou to say of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord." And as Isaiah the prophet said, they who had been sent were from among the and they who had been sent from among the Pharisees then asked him and said to him, "Why dost thou baptize if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John said to them in answer, "I baptize with water, but in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. He it is who is to come after me, who has been sent and set above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose." These things took place at Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And thus are the words of the gospel. One word about this gospel. There's an old saying in Latin, "Nemo iudex in sua causa." No one is a judge in his own case. And John the Baptist, as he is interrogated, answers a number of things that he is not. He says that he is not the Christ, and he is correct. He is asked if he's a prophet and so on. But one thing that he denies, which is incorrect, "Are you Elijah?" And he says, "I am not." However, later in the gospel, Jesus says exactly that. In the Synoptic Gospels, the Lord says regarding John the Baptist that if you are prepared to accept it, he is Elijah. He is Elijah. Now, I don't think that the Lord means that Elijah came back down from heaven, but he's the Elijah figure that was prophesied at the end of the book of Malachi. It says that the Lord would send Elijah the prophet to prepare the hearts of people for the coming of the Lord, lest he come to the land and strike it with doom. So it is that John the Baptist, in fact, is that Elijah figure of whom the Lord promised he would send. And of course, if John is Elijah, then Jesus is the Christ. He is the great one who is to come, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, a thought on that, John making a mistake about himself, I would simply say to you that I think all of us, again, struggle sometimes to see our own place in God's design. Where do we fit in to God's plan? What is our role? In a certain sense, it's none of our business. We simply do what God has taught us to do and leads us to do. But again, we may have some discernment over the understanding that we have some things that we think God has called us to do, but in the end, there's something of a mystery about ourselves that we have to accept. That God has a place for us in his plan, and we ourselves are not always the best judge of what that role is. I suspect one of the things that will have to be explained to us in the heavenly realms is just what our place in this great plan of God was. And it may be a lot more humble than we think. It may be just something very small but very important and necessary that God sent us to do. Whatever that place is, it is something that God himself has to ultimately reveal to us. So I certainly don't fault John the Baptist for misunderstanding himself. I don't think any of us are really the best judge of what our place is in God's plan. In the end, it has to be the Lord who tells us and reveals to us what that place in his plan is. Now, regarding this feast of Gaudete Sunday and regarding the reading, as you're aware, the word Gaudete is rejoice, and it's in the imperative, which means that it's commanded of us to rejoice. Now, the weather isn't all that great today. Some of us have burdens that we're carrying, maybe concerns about family, maybe concerns about work or having a job. I don't know if the Redskins even play today, but some people are worked up about that too. But in the end, the Lord commands us today to rejoice, to rejoice. And it's not a suggestion, it's a command. And it's repeated. Rejoice. I say it again. Rejoice. He's appealing, obviously, to something deep within us, a capacity that we have, not in our flesh, but in our spirit, which is able to command our soul to rejoice. Now, there is a basis, though, for the joy that we're commanded to be in touch with. It's not just, okay, get emotionally happy now, hurry up, tell a joke or do something, get happy. That's not the advice. The advice is much deeper than some emotional, giddy happiness. The Greek word that underlies this word, gaudete, that's the Latin word, but the Greek word chaire means to have a kind of a calm serenity. So it's a deep joy, which isn't necessarily an emotional, silly kind of joy, but a deep calm, a deep serene joy. Now, what is the cause of that deep and serene joy? Well, the text gives us some clues. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. And then the Lord says through Paul, let your moderation be known to all men. So part of the reason that we're so on such emotional roller coasters in our life is very often because we lack moderation. You know, we get all worked up and frenzied about something, and then sure enough, the emotional crash comes. You know, you can only sustain emotional highs for so long, and they tend to be replaced by valleys. So again, the first counsel, if we're going to have this calm, serene joy, is that we have a kind of a moderation in our life. I'm not saying we can't enjoy a good, happy comedy movie or something, but again, overall, is your life and mine marked by a kind of a steady moderation in all things, including moderation? It's a time to kick back and really enjoy. But again, you see the vision. Part of our emotional struggle is that we're sometimes overstimulated, where sometimes we lack moderation. And because we lack that moderation, we go up and down and all these roller coasters, and that's not a good source for a calm, serene joy. And we love the highs, but the lows are pretty miserable. Now, the next thing the text tells us is not only should we have moderation in all things, but here comes the real source of the joy that we are to plug into and experience. It simply says, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Now, one of the things to cultivate in our life is a deep and an abiding sense of the presence of God in our life. Now, what I'm about to describe to you is the normal Christian life. And that is that I should be in living, conscious contact with God at every moment of my day. That is the normal Christian life. Now, unfortunately, most of us struggle to have the normal Christian life. There are some people who, even though are in church on Sunday, may go for hours, days even, without ever thinking of God. Completely removed, if you will, in any sensible way from the presence of God. They're all indulged in the world. They're all tied up in the news or sports or something at work. Or they're all bent over looking at their shoelaces about something. And completely forgetful about the presence of God. So the gift to pray for is a gift to be perpetually in a mindful, conscious presence of God. We are surely always in His presence, but we are not always mindful of it. And so, if we're going to have a calm and serene joy, we've got to cultivate a profound sense of the presence of the Lord at every moment of our day. I know some folks who have these, remember how these watches used to always, you know, the infuriating little watches that used to beep at the top of every hour? That's pretty much gone now, but I know that I've got some folks that I used to know who would set their watch and every hour go beep, beep, and they'd make an act of the presence of God. They just trained themselves to be always thinking of God. Little reminders are important, holy cards. Perhaps some pictures around the house of saints and God Himself and the Lord and a crucifix. Whatever it takes, though, to keep ourselves mindful of the presence of God. So we have then this great understanding that the Lord is near. And our challenge is to experience that consistently. Now it says here something which seems very unreasonable next in the text. It says that we should have no anxiety. But the text doesn't stop there. But in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. So how are we going to be free of the anxiety that frequently dominates us and keeps us from being in the presence of God and ultimately available to this calm, serene joy that's at the depths of our heart? Again, the text is quite clear. It says that if we're going to be free of this anxiety, we should first of all be prayerful and thankful, always making our petitions known to God. Now, let's start with thankfulness. We are commanded to be thankful. That is to say, we are commanded to be filled with thanksgiving. Because of our flesh, we tend to be negative. Every day, 10 trillion things go right. And about a half a dozen things probably go wrong. You say you're exaggerating about that 10 trillion, aren't you? I am not. Think of every process of every cell of your body that has to go off like clockwork. And God does it all to keep you sustained. Every cell of our body has a semi-permeable membrane. It somehow knows how to let nutrients in but keep poisons out. Incredible. Don't tell me there's not a God. And God takes care of all those details. So I am not exaggerating when I tell you that every day, 10 trillion things go right. And about a half a dozen things might go wrong. But because of our flesh, we're negative. And instead of being, wow, I mean, look at the scale. I mean, like, wow, I mean, a lot of things really went well. We're like, six things, oh. And we're anxious and we're angry and we... And what the Lord is inviting us to do is to learn to be more thankful for the incredible number of blessings that comes to us every day. Every day. And so we have to kind of discipline our minds to just every day sit down at the end of the day and say, Lord, I thank you for, and just let the Holy Spirit lead you in a little bit of a list of things you're thankful for, but always end with this. And I thank you for the 10 trillion things that you did that I have no idea about, but you did it anyway. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So we have this, if you will, prayerful thanksgiving. Now, why does that help us with anxiety? Because it helps you to remember that God's got your back. God is in your corner. God is sustaining you, taking care of you. And he's been doing that, and he's going to continue to do it. So that our gratitude becomes the, if you will, the data or the source of our lack of anxiety and of our hope. It's an old gospel song we sing in my church a lot. It simply says that, I don't believe the Lord brought me this far to leave me. So giving thanks, we discipline our minds. We allow once again to get back in touch with how good God is to us, and the anxiety begins to decline, and we're less anxious, and then once again we're more available to that deep inner serenity and joy which is there written in our hearts by God himself. Well, I've gone on too long. There's more advice here, but let's leave that for another time. I simply say to you, when the church, the scripture today commands us to rejoice, it's not just asking you to get emotionally worked up and get your flesh to get all worked up and emotional. It's saying to you that there is in you and in me a joy in the depths of our heart that the Lord put there. And we've got to begin to understand that the Lord can put us in touch with that. And the way he does it is by, first of all, helping us to live more moderately. So we're calm and serene. He helps us to live more in his presence, aware of his presence from moment to moment. And then he helps us to stab anxiety in the heart by grateful and thankful praise and prayer to God. So these three things will assist us, if you will, in implementing this great command, Gaudete, which means, all of y'all, rejoice. Rejoice. If you want to put it in the singular, Gaude, rejoice. And all of us collectively should rejoice, because the Lord is near. We're living moderate lives, temperate lives, and the Lord is near. And anxiety is departing because we are a grateful people who know how God has blessed us and who understand that God's going to keep on blessing us. The anxiety goes and we're in touch with the joy. Amen.